from WBUR Boston and WRNI Providence, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point, broadcasting live tonight from the Republican National Convention at Madison Square Garden in New York. It is day three of the convention, and the GOP's delegates have been cheering on their party's most moderate star since Monday. And they are fired up here in New York. They loved Arnold Schwarzenegger, the Bush twins, and the First Lady last night. Tonight, they will hear from a tougher crew. Zell Miller, the Democratic senator from Georgia, who's endorsing George W. Bush for president, plus Liz Cheney and Vice President Dick Cheney. Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney will speak as well. There is no doubt that the crowd on the floor in front of the cameras is having a grand old time. But backstage, the grand old party is experiencing some tension. The Republican platform that was adopted Monday, with its strong opposition to same-sex unions and abortion, may have pleased those on the right wing of the party. But moderates and some traditional conservatives wonder, on fiscal policy and foreign policy and more, where the party's headed. Tonight on Point, live from the Republican National Convention in New York, tracking the soul of today's GOP, we begin with sounds from the day.
I'm running against a fellow who's already promised over $2 trillion of new federal spending. And we still got 60 days to go into campaign. No telling what's going to happen coming down the stretch.
At 8:10, I'll give you a heads up. Stand by. At 8:13, I'm going to stand up and hold my card. Everybody takes two steps forward. Boom, boom. You hit the line. You turn north. Hold your card up in the air for 18 minutes. Okay? Switch hands.
They dare to complain about it? They dare to wait? Oh, woe is me. I lost my job so the rich could have a tax cut. The rich need a tax cut. It's not easy to maintain a yacht.
I'm here to protest just the massive unemployment and underemployment in this country, Bush's anti-labor policies, his union-busting policies, and just massive tax cuts for the rich and the wealthiest Americans.
You are the people who represent the most significant audience for the President of the United States. And what he is.
So we should roll over because Iraqis don't like us?
Well, actually, I thought you were there to help the Iraqi people.
We're there to help them, but
well,
some of them don't understand
what... Well, then why don't we give the money to Iraq to let them
because
rebuild?
They're not doing the work. See,
because
the people who do the work are the ones
money.
Who should get the money.
It'll be interesting, sure. I mean, it'll be new, something different. But that's what this president does, is rallies people from all different stripes and backgrounds to his support.
They have now set the economy on the upward path again. Education is a special passion of mine, and this president's program for education has already begun to show results. We are moving our kids on an upward path.
We will win by a sufficient enough margin to declare victory and not spend 36 days arguing about it.
That was President Bush campaigning today in Columbus, Ohio. Protesters in New York in a mock unemployment line today. Protesters interrupting White House Chief of Staff Andrew Card as he addressed the Republican Youth Convention. An unidentified protester and delegate exchanging words about Iraq. Liz Cheney on CBS's The Early Show and Bush political strategist Karl Rove. We are talking tonight at Madison Square Garden about the soul of the Republican Party in 2004. We'll be keeping an eye on the convention floor as well, and you can join our conversation tonight. Where do you see the heart, the bedrock of the GOP today? Between moderates, evangelicals, and old-time conservatives, who's driving the party now? Join us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We'll be hearing in just a moment from Congressman Chris Shays of Connecticut, one of the founders of the Republican Main Street Partnership. But I'm joined right now in Madison Square Garden by John Harwood, national political editor for The Wall Street Journal. John, thanks for being with us again.
Great to be here.
John, you were with us on Monday night as we kicked this whole thing off. You've been watching, as we all have, with rapt attention as we saw McCain and Giuliani. Last night, Arnold and Laura Bush. Give us a sense how you see the face that the GOP is putting on so far, and tonight may turn a corner, but the face it's putting on so far in this week. What's the architecture of this face?
Well, I think the architecture is that you've got four of the most popular political figures in the country who've been showcased by the Republican Party at this convention. John McCain has extremely strong national numbers, so does Rudy Giuliani. They weren't seen by all that many people on Monday night because the major TV networks didn't broadcast it, but nevertheless, it got a lot of coverage, and Rudy Giuliani certainly drove a very, very hard and tough attack against John Kerry. That's probably beneficial to the president. Last night, Arnold Schwarzenegger has a tremendous amount of star power. He's somebody who's to the left of the center of gravity in the Republican Party. Probably couldn't win a Republican presidential nomination. Nevertheless, he's able to testify to the Republicans as a party of inclusion and talk about his immigrant story. You had Laura Bush last night. She is a spectacular asset for this president, extremely popular around the country, somebody dead center of the sort of sensibilities of the American people.
Very poised.
So she was an asset. I suspect the one thing they might take back, if they could take it back, was the performance by the Bush daughters that was the kind of thing that may have played well in a college dorm, but I'm not sure it went over too well with mainstream undecided voters out there.
And the political profile of what we've seen so far relative to the GOP base today. We're talking tonight about the heart of the party, the soul of the party. Have we seen an accurate representation up on the podium?
No, that's not the Republican base. You had a clip in that set of sound bites before where somebody said, you're the most important audience for the Republican Party. If that speaker was talking about the kind of people inside the delegate chairs in this convention, that is exactly right. The Republican Party is the conservative party in the country. It is a pro-life party. It is a small government party. It's a low-tax party. It is a strong defense party. All those are relative things, and there's a little, you know, some people are a little bit more, some people a little bit less, but that's the general contours of the party. People like Chris Hayes, who you're going to talk to soon, are a smaller force in the Republican Party than they've been in the past. They can have a big impact when they do things like team up with Democrats, especially on issues like campaign finance reform. But they don't drive the party at a policy level.
John Howard, let's turn to Congressman Chris Shays. He joins us now, Congressman from Connecticut, one of the founders of the Republican Mainstream Partnership. Chris Shays, thanks so much for being with us at the Garden tonight.
Great to be with you. You have a wonderful program.
Well, thank you very much, and great for you of you to take time out to join us tonight. So you heard John Harwood describe your position just now, not exactly in the heart of that Republican base these days. Where do you see yourself in the spectrum of Republican political postures that make up this party today, Chris Shays?
Well, I think the Republican Party is a southern-based, western-based party that tends to be more conservative than what you would see throughout the United States. But I think most Republicans tend to be more moderate than conservative. But the activists are those that will desert the party if they don't get their way, I tend to think would be the more conservative element of the party. And that's the challenge. Republicans are moderates, believe that we're a party of moderates, conservatives, and very conservatives. But and are very happy to have conservative and very conservative people part of the party. Mm-hmm. I think we start to rebel when people like John and others start to define who a Republican is. Then we have a problem.
People like John.
I mean, just hearing comments that tell us, you know, who is a Republican and who isn't.
Are you saying these are Republicans defining some Republicans out?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then you know, I think you see people kind of bristle.
Let me ask you this.
Sure.
I'm reading here, there's another group, and it's interesting how these have popped up from a number of spectrums.
Right.
I mean, Pat Buchanan is out there. You know, he's got a new book now, Where the Right Went Wrong, How Neoconservatives Subverted the Reagan Revolution, Hijacked the Bush Presidency. And he's got his whole critique. He says, the GOP may be Reaganite in its tax policy, but it is Wilsonian in its foreign policy. Not exactly a GOP favorite, right. A Woodrow Wilson Democrat. FDR in its trade policy, and LBJ all the way in its spending policies. Pragmatism is the order of the day, he says. The Republican philosophy might be summarized thus, to hell with principle, what matters is power, and that we have it, and that they do not. That's Pat Buchanan. On the other side, you've got Mainstream 2004, not your group, but perhaps a similar one, advertising in papers this week, saying that the GOP has been kidnapped by conservatives. They're more moderate, perhaps closer to your line. So how big an issue does the party have with these tensions? Is it the same old, or do you have a new intensity of tension here?
Well, I think you're going to see moderates become far more active. A lot of the contributors to the Republican Party tend to be moderate. And I think you're going to see them start to work hard to elect more moderate Republicans. I think you're going to see that happen.
John Harwood?
I just wanted to ask the congressman a question. He mentioned that Republicans tend to be a Southern and conservative party. I'd be interested in your view on the choice of Zell Miller as a keynote. I would have thought that the Republican Party might have felt that it had enough Southern conservatives as the sort of symbolic leaders of the party. Do you think that's a good choice? Would you have liked to seen someone from another part of the country where maybe Republicans aren't quite as strong?
And this, of course, Zell Miller, the Georgia Democrat, right, who's come over, still a Democrat, but supporting George Bush.
Well, you know, I think it's what's significant is you have a senator who happens to be a Democrat, and he's the only Democratic senator we could find. And so I think that there's a tremendous merit in having him, and I'm kind of intrigued by what he will say.
But you would prefer him over a Republican from another part of the country, the Midwest, the Northeast, West Coast?
I think it's going to be fascinating to see a Democrat stand up who, I mean, he's part of the Democratic caucus. Now, maybe he will become a Republican someday. If I were a Democrat, I would not... as a Republican, I wouldn't want to see any of my Republican senators speaking at a Democratic convention. That would be horrible.
Chris Shays, I really want to understand then exactly what you're saying. We've heard a lot about the big tent, and clearly the moderate face has been put up on the podium in Giuliani, in McCain, in Schwarzenegger, guys who on the social values side do not line up with the hard right of the Republican Party.
But you know what's really amazing? I vote with my party 78% of the time.
Yeah.
I vote with the president 67% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
John McCain votes with his party about 87% of the time, and he votes with the president 91% of the time.
So it should have been you up there, Chris Shays.
No,
you're the real moderator.
No, but what's interesting is John is a conservative, and it just blows me away that somehow people don't think of him that way.
Because he's got the maverick iconoclastic approach to things.
But it's fascinating.
And yet you know that he suggests to the American public, you look at the poll numbers, he suggests a kind of liberality, moderation, independence of mind, not lockstep.
But think, they were literally thinking of John McCain as the vice presidential candidate. And yet, you know, he is a very conservative member of Congress. But he's willing to kind of break out of the box. And there are some things he's willing to vote for that would give him the reputation of being almost more moderate and certainly very independent.
What's the path that you see this party on? Is it headed deeper into evangelical country if we see another 4 years of George W. Bush, who openly embraces that side of the block very strongly?
This is what I would like to see my party do. I believe the bulk of the American people are in the center of the political spectrum. I would like to see them move more conservative.
You'd like to see the bulk of the American people move.
Exactly, and I'd like to see, most Republicans are for welfare reform.
Mm-hmm.
And we do know in individual accountability. We do believe in issues like No Child Left Behind having accountability to it. In other words, we're not just testing. We're saying if you fail in schools, most Republicans I know believe in choice in school. I certainly do. And so those are very, I think, issues that conservatives, moderates, and the very conservative can agree on.
But do you risk the right wing of your party moving so far to the right faster than the center may move conservative? And I guess we're in a conservative-leaning age, but faster, and therefore losing a majority, losing coherence?
I've never quite understood why the most conservative part of my party isn't happy with the direction of a party that is moving the public to be more conservative. That makes sense to me. What I have a trouble kind of appreciating is understanding why we have to rule from the right and drag everyone over.
You're saying, let's stay a little closer to the middle, but that's...
And push people towards the right.
Are you missing an opportunity? I guess the November 3rd election is one indicator.
I'll give you an example. I think this does not have to be a close election. It's one thing to be pro-life, anti-choice, but another thing to be against stem cell research. I think this president could have still maintained his credentials and grabbed people from the center. I think, being concerned about environmental issues more and still be a conservative.
But that's not exactly how it's gone, and you feel the pressure, Chris Shays. You're right in the gun sights of it. Thanks a lot for being with us
tonight. Nice to be with you.
Chris Shays, Republican congressman from Connecticut, one of the founders of the Republican Mainstream Partnership. We are at Madison Square Garden on day 3 of the Republican National Convention. Vice President Dick Cheney is up tonight, Liz Cheney, Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney later on. And while we watch, we are talking about the soul of the GOP. Where do you see the heart of the GOP today? You can join Join us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point, broadcasting live tonight from Madison Square Garden in New York, where the Republican National Convention is in its third day. As we watch the convention floor, and we will be bringing you speeches and sound from the floor all through this evening, we're talking tonight about the heart and soul of the GOP today, the center of gravity of this party, intentions behind the big tent face that we've seen. You can join the conversation tonight. Where do you see the heart of the GOP today? Who embodies the soul of the party now? Is it Arnold Schwarzenegger, John McCain, or is it Rick Santorum, who we may hear from in a moment? Is it Tom DeLay? Is it John Ashcroft? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We're joined this hour by the Wall Street Journal's national political editor, John Harwood, with me at the Garden. And also with us at the Garden, Rick Perlstein, a journalist and author of Before the Storm, Barry Goldwater, and the Unmaking of the American Consensus. Rick Perlstein, thanks for being with us tonight.
Great to be here.
You have paid a lot of attention to Republican Party history, and particularly since Barry Goldwater came on the scene and began the whole revolution that maybe rolled right on through Ronald Reagan and now through George W. Bush. Put us on that arc of history. Where do you see what's happening with the soul, the heart, the center of this party in the George W. Bush years?
You know, I'm very glad to speak about the soul of the Republican Party because my book, Before the Storm, is, you know, kind of a biography of Barry Goldwater. And it tells the story of how conservatives took control of the Republican Party from the moderates, the liberals, that they thought would do anything to win, the pragmatists. And the thing that attracted me, and still attracts me often to conservatives, is their kind of shining, blue, burning flame of idealism. But the thing that's astonished me about this convention is the extent to which the Republicans who speak from the floor are willing to basically say anything to get elected. The mendaciousness of some of the speeches has really astonished me.
So you're talking about accuracy, or are you talking about more moderate party members leaning away from the true face of the party?
Well, there's the specific, which is the question of accuracy, and the general, the true face of the party. I think, you know, when it comes to the specific and mendacity, you know, you have Arnold Schwarzenegger saying that George Bush was extremely courageous in going into Iraq because the polls were against it. Well, I just studied the polls back in my hotel room, and, you know, on the eve of the war, it was 66% for going to war.
Sounds better if they were against it, though.
Yeah,
made a resolution.
Yeah. And you get things like Dr. Frist kind of claiming that prescription drugs under Medicare was this Republican idea that the Republican brought to the people, but that was like something the Democrats fought for first.
So you're going at the politics and the accuracy, but we're really interested here in the center of gravity of this party. Where do you see it shifting? You've looked from Goldwater forward in these last 4 years, in these last dozen years.
Yeah.
Where do you see it shifting? Where do you see it today? What about these tensions between old-time conservative, the Pat Buchanan crowd, the moderates, the evangelicals? Where's the center of gravity here?
I think it's a profoundly conservative party. The conservatives are hegemonic. The Christian right is hegemonic.
Within the party.
I report for the Village Voice, and on my way out here, I interviewed a fellow from Flint, Michigan, who's gone to every Republican convention since 1972. And has been a Republican activist since he was 10 years old. His name's Mike Kelly. And lo and behold, he's not going this year. He withdrew from Republican politics after the Christian right in the Republican Party in Flint, Michigan, in Genesee County, purged all the people who weren't for the gay and marriage amendment. And he could handle Newt Gingrich. He could handle someone like G. Gordon Liddy saying, you know, shoot the federal agents, you know, in the head and not in the kneecaps. But the anti-gay stuff, he said, you know, I'm making a change in my life. I can't be in this party anymore.
It was interesting that in the platform committee proceedings, we're told Karl Rove locked the door because he didn't want the sort of message about the intensity of far-right conversation there to be out in public. I want to go to the floor of the convention hall for just a minute, where we're hearing right now from Hawaii's Governor Linda Lingle. Let's listen.
In the first quarter of 2004, we had the largest growth of exports of any state in the nation. And those exports include far more than our world-renowned Kona coffee and macadamia nuts. And because the Bush administration, including my good friend, Homeland Security Secretary Tom Ridge, has made our skies and oceans safer for travel. People are coming to Hawaii in record numbers.
Hawaii's Governor Linda Lingle, replete with pink and purple lei around her neck, talking about macadamia nuts and the splendor of their export spike under George Bush. We're lauding on and on here at the convention. I guess that's what it's all about. John Harwood with the Wall Street Journal. You hear Rick Perlstein saying he sees an evangelical hegemony in the Republican Party today. Do you agree?
Oh, I don't know about the word hegemony, but the basic point is right. Their social conservatives are driving the train in this party right now. There's no doubt about it. Just look at the leadership on Capitol Hill and the fact that that is really where the party platform goes. That's where the most important decisions that the president makes go. Look at his advocacy of the gay marriage constitutional amendment. If it were not the case that conservatives were calling the tune in this party, he wouldn't have come out for that this year.
I spoke a little bit earlier with four-term Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley here at Madison Square Garden. I asked Senator Grassley, with the higher profile now of evangelicals and neoconservatives, if today's GOP is the same party he joined as a young man.
Well, first of all, in regard to, let's say, the evangelicals within the Republican Party, there's nothing wrong with anybody of any religious conviction being involved in politics. John Kerry felt a need to say in his Boston speech at the convention, he stepped back a little bit and he said, I want people of faith to know that they're welcome in our party. Well, I thought all the time the Democrat people were a people of faith. I think the American people are people of faith. But I think he felt a need to kowtow a little bit to the secularists, maybe only 3% of the people. So, you know, you have this ambivalence in his own party.
How about inside the Republican Party? Not to judge, not to say right or wrong. We're just looking at the party. Who holds more sway? We're hearing complaints from some members. You know these groups, what, Mainstream 2004, Republican Main Street. You've got the former Republican governor of New Mexico, Mr. Cargo, saying that the party has shrunk. Its focus has shrunk. It's not a big tent. It's a pup tent. Pat Buchanan saying the spirit of true conservatism appears to be dead. These are all conservatives. These are all Republicans. Yeah. What's going on that leads them to this feeling?
I think there's an effort to denigrate what appears to be a large party related there just for religious reasons. But I believe that the fundamental consistency of the Republican Party is fiscal and economic conservatism. And I think that is the base of our party. And it de-emphasizes anything else that you might consider a division within the party.
How much stronger has the evangelical wing of the Republican Party become under George Bush, a president who's very willing and open about embracing that faith?
No stronger than under Reagan, but they have a president that's willing to be more vocal about it.
Does that change the Republican Party's openness and embrace? We've seen three big moderate speakers in the first couple of nights of the convention here in John McCain, in Rudy Giuliani, in Arnold Schwarzenegger, men that don't share an evangelical agenda. Why put these guys up? Why not put the evangelicals up, given the clout they've got in the party?
What you want to notice about all three of them, none of them rejected evangelicalism within the party. And I think that that shows the toleration of our party when leaders like that don't find fault, and you've seen the same sort of toleration on the part of evangelicals.
Senator Chuck Grassley of Iowa, thanks very much for joining us.
Glad to be with you. Thank you.
Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley talking with me earlier today here at Madison Square Garden. We're talking tonight about the soul of the GOP, the center of gravity, and tensions behind the big tent face. You can join us at 1-800-423-8255. We should hear soon from the podium from Rick Santorum. Right now I want to hop outside of the convention hall all the way to Albuquerque, New Mexico. We are joined from there by former Republican governor of New Mexico, David Cargo. He's currently a member of Mainstream 2004, a group of moderate Republicans from around the country. David Cargo, governor, thank you for joining us tonight.
Thank you. I'm glad to be with you.
You have been very vocal recently about the drift of the Republican Party. Where do you see the center of gravity of this party going, governor?
Well, if they don't look out, they're going off the cliff. Because, number one, they're not, if you listen carefully to these people, they talk about conservatives, they don't talk about being Republicans. And I think that's a mistake. In addition to that, they continue to play to what they call is their base. But if their base of support are those people that are out on the far right, I think they're out of step with the mainstream of the Republican Party, the Republican voters, and the nation. And I think that's a terrible mistake.
A mistake in electoral terms, a problem for George Bush in this presidential election, or a mistake in policy terms?
Probably all of the above. For instance, I'll give you a good example. Of course, I come from a state that's a majority-minority, and I carried a majority of the Hispanics, obviously. I carried 90% of Afro-Americans. And yet the Republican candidate today is drawing less than 5% from Afro-Americans. That's within the margin of error. For God's sakes, they may not have any votes.
Your group, Mainstream 2004, David Cargo, has said that the Republican Party has been kidnapped, your word, by conservatives. How, in your view, has that happened?
Well, I think it started back in 1964, and it was a little ugly, and they just continued to go to the right. I knew Barry Goldwater very, very well, and Barry Goldwater wasn't buying a lot of this. They went way out beyond him, and I think it's a terrible mistake because. Basically, Republicans support good programs on the environment. They support programs in a good many other areas. And, for instance, most Republicans would like to see the budget balanced. If you will recall, it wasn't but just a few years ago when the balanced budget amendment came before the United States Senate. It was defeated by one vote. Mark Hatfield of Oregon.
Right.
Now you couldn't find a single Republican that would vote for it in the Senate, I don't think.
Well, it would be hard to do given the way the deficit's running. David Cargo in Albuquerque, stand by. John Harwood with the Wall Street Journal. Come in here. When you listen to David Cargo and this critique and concern from an old-time Republican, governor in the 60s, who sounds out of step with the current politics, David Cargo or the Republican hard right that he's describing and a bit afraid of?
Well, it depends on out of step with whom. There's no question that the governor is out of step with the current dominant faction in his party. And it's not faction probably diminishes it. It's bigger than a faction. Look at threshold social issues like abortion. Could somebody win the Republican presidential nomination today if they favored abortion rights? I think not. Now, the flip side is also true. Could somebody in the Democratic Party, which is a more secular party, a party less grounded in strong religious adherence, could a candidate who opposed abortion rights win the Democratic nomination? Absolutely not. It is the way the two parties have sorted themselves out. And what is distinctive, I think, about the George Bush White House as opposed to others, think back to when George H.W. Bush, who was a transitional figure who straddled the transition of the party, old sort of blue blood liberal Republicans to the new conservative
Reagan,
Republican
post-Reagan.
Party, exactly, centered in the South and the West. After he lost, Republicans then won the Congress. Newt Gingrich ran into problems, and they approached the 96 campaign, and there was a whole question about, does the party need to move to the center,
right,
or does it mm-hmm. continue what it's doing? Karl Rove and George W. Bush came up with a strategy in 2000 designed to create a certain veneer of moderation that was largely
conservatism.
Right, that was largely about Bush's temperament, his personality, mm-hmm. which is very likable. Mm-hmm. It wasn't about policy. And they've tried to figure out a way to be conservative, to run and govern as conservatives, but appeal to enough voters to win the election. We'll see if they can pull it off. They barely pulled it off, not in the popular vote, but they made it to the White House in 2000. See if they can get another 4 years this time.
And so in these first three big speakers, Schwarzenegger, Giuliani, McCain, none of whom is solid against abortion, are you saying that they're not in position in 2008 or ever in this Republican Party to make a real run for the presidency?
Well, Arnold Schwarzenegger is not until somebody changes the Constitution, because he's not a native-born American. With Rudy Giuliani, he is going to have a real uphill climb to make headway within Republican primaries. One question is whether the emotional impact of 9/11 and the security issue and his performance there somehow could allow him to transcend those social differences. I'm skeptical, but it's not impossible.
I want to go to the podium right now, where one very conservative Republican is at the microphone, Senator Rick Santorum of Pennsylvania.
Will our torch shine brighter, or will it diminish? Our best hope will not be found in the laws of men, but in the love of others. As President Bush defines it, compassion. Remember, the greatest of these is love. Through love and compassion, we can shape our moment in American history for great good, as many did before us. My father came to a coal mining company town outside of Johnstown, Pennsylvania, when he was 7 years old, from a small village in Italy. It was 1930, and like most immigrants, he was poor. But like so many of our parents from that time, he passed on a wealth of truths to guide us in life: to love God, to love your neighbor as yourself, and to care for those less fortunate than you. Today, too many of our children are surrounded by an impoverished culture, causing an emptiness not only of the stomach, but of the heart. And it's doing to our children what the Great Depression did to our economy. When I was in the House, I helped author the landmark welfare reform bill. And when I was elected to the Senate, I didn't just want to make it possible for poor women to work. I wanted to give them a job. So I hired 8 welfare recipients to work in my office. One, Michelle Turner, came from the People's Emergency Center in West Philadelphia. She went from receptionist to caseworker to supervisor. As Michelle says, under the old welfare system, I was forgotten, a nobody. Today, my family has a future. Welfare reform cut the rolls and reduced poverty, but helping millions like Michelle find a job is only part of the answer. My Italian grandfather taught me the rest in one word: family. The key to a richer culture is a strong family, and the key to a strong family are strong marriages. That means mothers and fathers doing what they've been doing so well for over the centuries, giving love and hope to their children. Karen, my wonderful wife and mother of our 6 great children, always says, "Rick, the best gift we can give our kids is a great marriage. It gives them the security they want and the example they need." Yet, in many poor communities, the torch of marriage is dying out. While 8 out of 10 mothers applying for welfare,
Pennsylvania Senator Rick Santorum at the microphone at Madison Square Garden in New York. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.
No one helps them. And within a year, almost all.
Arden, I'm Christy Niverson tonight with the Arizona.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We've just been listening to Pennsylvania Senator Rick Santorum on the podium here in Madison Square Garden, where we're broadcasting live tonight, speaking directly to that evangelical base that is such a powerful part of the GOP today, the Republican Party. We're talking tonight about the soul of that party, about the center of gravity and tensions behind the big tent face. You can join the conversation tonight. Where is the GOP gravitating in the George W. Bush years? Where's the bus going? Are you on board? Can the GOP, longer term, be the evangelical fortress and reach out to the American political center? Is that the new American political center? What's the heart of the GOP that you know? We're at 1-800-423-8255 tonight. I've been joined by John Harwood, national political editor for The Wall Street Journal, Rick Perlstein, author of Barry Goldwater and the Unmaking of the American Consensus, from Albuquerque, New Mexico, former governor of New Mexico, David Cargo, a member of Mainstream 2004, a group that's concerned about that drift to the right. David Cargo, I know I've just got you for another minute, but as you listen to Rick Santorum there tonight with his strong biblical allusions there to the greatest of these is love, and a lot more, religion must never be established but must never be banished, he's saying, church. The division between church and state is important, but we don't want to divide children and fathers. What do you make of this message?
Well, I don't take great exception to what he says, but the thing is that even in Pennsylvania, you know, they went after Arlen Specter. They wanted to knock him off. And if the Santorum supported him, but he just barely won.
And when you say they, who do you mean, David Cargo?
Well, the Club for Growth is one good example, and they're going into every primary where you have a halfway moderate Republican, and they're trying to get rid of them. And if you take any look at history, Cliff Case was defeated in New Jersey a number of years ago, and they replaced him with a Democrat. Kuchel was defeated in California. They've replaced them with Democrats ever since. And I think when you knock off moderates, you knock off people who've won elections. And the reason that they have moderate speakers at the convention is that they understand they have to have moderate votes in order to win an election. But the thing is, they have to have a moderate program to back it up. We're not radicals. We're just saying that there ought to be some people in the center that can make it in the Republican Party.
David Cargo, former Republican governor of New Mexico, joining us from Albuquerque. Thank you so much for being with us tonight.
Well, thank you. I was just up in Boston, as a matter of fact.
Well, come by and see us next time you're in town. Good talking with you tonight.
Sure.
Thanks so much.
Fine.
Rick Perlstein here with us in Madison Square Garden. So there we've got quite a tableau between Rick Santorum. Our best hope is not in the laws of men, but in the love of others. The greatest of these is love. Essentially saying it is in the Bible with both of these allusions. You've written that the opening years of the 21st century are as surely a conservative epoch as the era between the New Deal and Great Society was a liberal one. So who is in step here? Do you think David Cargo's right that the GOP risks losing electoral success with this drift? Or are the evangelicals calling it right? Are they the new middle? Is the GOP right in the sweet spot?
You know, there's an interesting distinction to make. I like to tell a joke that in the Republican Party, you can be for going back to feudalism, but if you're against against abortion, you're called a moderate. You know, we haven't talked about the economic aspect of conservatism. And to that extent, the Republicans are always going to have a hard time reaching out to the political center because they're so resolutely against the kind of, you know, legacy of the New Deal reforms that often are quite popular. They're so, you know, hard bore against the environmental reforms, which are enormously popular in polls. So you have your Santorums. And, you know, you have, for example, the Republicans for Choice Coalition. That's another one of those moderate groups. I interviewed their leader, Ann Stone, and she said she wouldn't mind if we got rid of the minimum wage. You know, but she's called a moderate. So in a way, the Republicans have won no matter which faction wins on this Christian right. The conservatives have won no matter whether it's the Christian right or the secular moderates who win
sort
in the party.
Because
the economic conservatives have won.
And they own the House, the Senate, and the White House. We are joined right now at Madison Square Garden by Cindy Costa. She's a delegate to the convention this week and South Carolina prayer leader for the Christian Coalition. Cindy Costa, thanks a lot for being with us tonight.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
So you've been at the convention. We're in day three now. You've heard the speeches of these first two nights. Have your interests, your concerns as a strong Christian within the Republican Party been adequately on display at this convention this year so far?
I believe they have because the person that we support and that we are so totally behind is President Bush. And he shares our values, and our platform is representative of what he believes in his vision for America. And his vision for America is my vision for America. And it's not threatening. It's not trying to step on anyone. It's trying to say, you know, America is the land of opportunity. By God's grace and by hard work, you know, if you get on board, you know, these initiatives will help you succeed. This is the greatest country in the world. You know, come on board. If you feel disenfranchised in any way, the Republican Party wants you. We want you. We want everyone that shares our values. And they don't have to share every single value, you know, lockstep.
Abortion, gay marriage.
Well, we would invite those people to be part of our party. Now, I'm not saying that we would let them be, you know, leaders of a committee, you know, on those issues. But we would invite them to come in and join us and to see that, working together, that we can have a great future and that we can solve many of the problems in our country.
When you hear former New Mexico governor, and you overheard a bit of him just now, David Cargo, saying he is concerned that groups with your leaning may carve Republicans out of electoral success at some point. They may leave the party distant from the mainstream. What do you think?
Well, I'm very disappointed that he feels that way, and I totally disagree with him. I believe that what we offer is we offer a positive vision that, you know, that is inclusive and that that offers, you know, real solutions to real problems instead of this divisiveness. And, you know, and I say, fear not. we don't want to scare people.
Yesterday, over at the Waldorf Astoria, there was an invitation-only meeting of Christian conservatives. You may or may not have been there.
I was there.
Senator Sam Brownback spoke to the group and said that we are in a culture war, and we've got to win it. Do you agree?
We are in a culture war. I mean, I don't think that should be scary. I mean, it's not like we're taking up arms and trying to shoot people, but we are in a culture war of ideas. And I think that, I just think that we should be allowed to debate the ideas and, you know, let the best ideas win.
Cindy Costa, thank you so much for being with us tonight. Great having you.
Thank
Cindy
you.
Cindy Costa,
a
delegate to the convention this week, South Carolina prayer leader for the Christian Coalition. I want to turn to our callers who have been waiting so patiently. Ann is calling from Mequon, Wisconsin. Hi, Ann. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
The reason I'm calling is I heard you say that you were interested in views on what had happened to the soul of the Republican Party.
Yes, we are.
And I would tell you that I am a person who probably for 35 years has voted mainly Republican. I unfortunately voted for this president. It's the only vote for a Republican that I regret. I think that the Republican Party has completely lost its direction, and I think it's just been hijacked by a religious group that desires to impose their religious belief on everyone else. I find it incredibly disturbing.
But, Ann, let me ask you. We just heard from Cindy Costa, the South Carolina prayer leader here, that they don't want to step on anyone else's rights, that you are welcome in this party. You may not be the committee chairperson, but you're welcome to the party.
Well, when they say they don't want to step on anybody's rights, I find that almost laughable. I remember the Republican Party as being a party that really defended people's rights against the government. What I see in this administration is that they want to impose their particular ideas against certain types of marriage, against certain types of research. I think the Patriot Act is an assault on personal freedom. Even things as far out as going after the Oregon legislation that allows assisted suicide,
right.
You know, to me that is a personal right. And I cannot imagine how the Republican Party came to this point from where it was many years ago, because it appears to me that what they want to do is control my personal freedom and intrude upon my personal freedom.
And we've got it, and thanks very much for your call. Rick Perlstein, put this in some perspective for us. You've also written that George W. Bush is actually a fair bit more conservative than his political hero, Ronald Reagan. And maybe speaking to that here.
Yeah, I mean, it's just amazing how the conservatives run this party. I mean, we're talking about a guy, Rick Santorum, who he's lecturing us about love. This is a guy who compared loving relationships between people who happen to be of the same sex to sex with animals. This is beyond the pale, and yet they're put, you know, on the stage as models of compassion. Reagan didn't go for that. Ronald Reagan, in fact, one of the most courageous acts of his political career was he fought against a referendum in California in the 70s against keeping gay school teachers from teaching. He said, this is beyond the pale. I think he would find Bush's cultivating of a gay marriage amendment beyond the pale as well.
And yet, John Harwood, this is a party that owns the White House and both houses of Congress right now. They're not doing too badly with the formula that they've got going here.
No, they're doing very well. And this election is going to be a big test, though. George Bush has encountered, he ran in reasonably favorable circumstances in 2000 for a challenger. because you had a fairly awkward Democratic candidate to run against, and you had the Clinton overhang, which made it easier for him to sort of run with this compassionate conservative philosophy. He's got some adverse conditions facing him right now. Iraq is not helping him. The economy, attitudes have hardened significantly against him on the economy. So if he can show, and Karl Rove, through his reelection strategy, can show they can really mobilize Republicans on a scale that's never been done before and win this election, that's a promising sign for them. If that happens, they're going to keep both houses of Congress as well.
And probably keep the tilt we've been hearing about tonight. Down on the floor right now, the roll call of states goes on, even though Bush and Cheney were formally nominated last night. Pennsylvania was engineered to put them over the top, a key state for President Bush. Let's get another call. Norm is calling from New York City. Hi, Norm. You're on the air.
Hi. I've been in the convention on Monday night, and I just wanted to say that I think that the party is representing itself very well. I believe that it really is a party that does have a broad tent, as we say.
Yep.
And the first speakers are very successful, very popular Republican politicians, and they don't get elected they don't get elected by sticking to some particular narrow view. They understand what the electorate wants and have been able to give that to them, whether it's New York or Arizona or in the Northeast. Hometown for me is in New Hampshire.
And Norm, are you comfortable with the more religiously oriented center of gravity in the party, even as we saw these more moderate speakers on the podium?
Well, I think that there's a place. I think there's a place in the party, and I think that the place, certainly there's a place in the party for them. And faith is a part of America, and you can see how John Kerry has been all of a sudden getting more interested in that than he was earlier in the campaign. That's very mainstream.
Yeah, we've heard that loud and clear. Norm, thanks for your call. John Harwood, here we are, Sam Brownback yesterday calling for a culture war. The Republicans putting out a moderate face, but also Rick Santorum this week. If we see a Bush victory in November, are we likely to see a resumption of culture war, or are they riding the clutch here on that? Are they going to try and steer toward that moderate center even in a second term?
I'm not sure we're going to see a culture war. And in fact, if one is going on, the irony of this is that even while Republicans are controlling the high ground politically, there's a good argument to be made that they're losing it. Look at the gay marriage debate. Okay, that constitutional amendment is not going to become law.
And the GOP knows it.
Yes, it's not going anywhere in the Congress, and it's not likely to go anywhere in the states. Chances are pretty good that in some reasonably near term, gay marriage is going to be legal in some places, and the number of places at which it will be legal are likely to grow. Values of tolerance and diversity are growing in the society. You see politicians even who disagree with certain elements of the liberal agenda have to pay homage to those ideas.
Just
in their
a few
own
seconds
politics.
Left, though. In a second term, a lot of Supreme Court seats could be up for filling. Might that change that drift you're describing?
It might, but I think those are pretty powerful currents in the society.
Well, there we are. Thanks to both of you, John Harwood, national political editor with The Wall Street Journal, for being with us tonight for a look at the heart and soul of the Republican Party, and Rick Perlstein, author of Barry Goldwater, Before the Storm, Barry Goldwater and the Unmaking of the American Consensus. Terrific to have you with us tonight as well. Thanks so much for joining us.
A pleasure.
We are live at the Madison Square Garden this week in New York City at the Republican National Convention. There's much more coming tonight. Stick with us. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Hear that roll call rolling behind us. We'll be back in our next hour.